Hare Krishna, welcome everyone. So we'll continue 7th chapter. So we'll briefly review what we discussed last class. We covered from verse number 13, right? Mm-hmm. Can somebody share some points? So what is Krishna saying in verse number 13?
Everyone is affected with remorse of material nature.
Because of which?
We cannot know Krishna.
Who is?
Beyond the
modes. How is he is related to both modes?
It's all
he's
related.
Above.
Because he is above the modes, that's right. Everybody is giving pieces. Krishna, okay.
Even people in goodness mode, and they cannot understand.
So what is the mode we should come to?
Above
the three modes, which is called, what's the name? Nobody wrote down?
Devotion.
Shuddha Sattva or Vishuddha Sattva or Vasudeva platform?
Vasudeva
platform. Now you wrote down?
No, but listening to the words, I thought Vasudeva will be there.
Oh, okay.
Guess.
It's not in the purple head, right?
It's not there. Yeah. So then, next verse. So even in the mode of goodness, at most you'll come to impersonal Brahman realization. That's what Prabhupada is saying. But to have complete Bhagavan realization, essentially the point is, you know, Swami Prabhupada, I remember once he commented. He said, you know, he was scared about this point. Like, you know, in order to be with fire, we have to be like fire. In order to be with Krishna, we should be as pure as Krishna. So Krishna is beyond the modes. So we should also come beyond the modes. To be in that, in order to have the loving exchange with Krishna. So that's the point. Okay, so text number 14.
The three modes can be, we can overcome only by surrendering.
Yeah, so they are very powerful, otherwise we are Nityabaddha, eternally conditioned. Even though in one lecture Prabhupada was saying, you know, we are Jiva, we are spiritual. But constitutionally we are spiritual, like, you know, from beginning we are spiritual. Rather, you know, we are part of Krishna, but still Nityabaddha means forever conditioned. So that means you cannot go back in time and tell at a particular time it started so far back, as much as infinity. They say, right, if you cannot count more, you can say assume it's infinity, it's like that. So then the only way to overcome is, as Mataji was telling, is to surrender unto Krishna. Who is, how it works then? How does the logic work? Why it works?
Because, okay Mataji.
I want like logically, because I explained it.
He is not bounded by modes.
No. Because three modes are conducted by Krishna and he will direct three modes, not to...
Yes, so he is the master of the modes, because we are under... So it's a hierarchy, right? Krishna, modes and we. We are under the influence of the modes. So when we say, you know, when we go back to the upper manager, topmost manager, he says, okay, don't bother about this person. It's very simple. Okay, so then what else?
Also, there was analogy, Mataji. If we are tied to the rope, only person who is not tied, he can only, you know, release us.
Yeah. So, which is like Krishna, or
or
spiritual master,
spiritual representative of Krishna, who is also above the modes. Okay. Okay. So, text number 15. So, Krishna talks about now. No, because in text number 14, he talks about surrender, right? So, now a couple of verses, Krishna is going to talk about who are the people who surrender to him. For the people who don't surrender to him. In 15, he talks about mudas. He calls them mudas, the foolish people, or duskritina actually. Duskritina means notorious, not famous. They're miscreants. They're notorious for their misdeeds. So they are four kinds of people. Who are? Which are?
Foolish.
Muda.
Naradama.
Naradama, Maya.
Maya Partha Jnana.
Asura.
And Asuram Bhavam Ashrita. So English?
Grossly foolish.
Foolish.
Lowest among mankind.
Okay.
knowledge is stolen by
illusion and
demon. Nature of
demons. Okay, so these are the four kinds of people. Krishna says, you know, they don't surrender to me. Then Prabhupada details in purport how these kinds of people are completely, you know, grossly foolish people are busy with their life, you know, just day to day earning money and living and just day to day life, that they don't have time for self-realization. And the lowest among mankind are, they don't have any religious instincts. You know, they just want to, like, you know, sometimes scientists and all those things. They don't have any pious credits to follow any religion or anything spirituality. Knowledge is stolen by illusion means they are very intelligent, actually. Poets, literature people, or, you know, philosophers, scientists, very knowledgeable materially. Mm-hmm. But it's stolen by illusion that they think, you know, Krishna is, it, or rather, you know, Krishna is not, God is not there, or ultimately everything is matter, or ultimately everything is impersonal. So they come to these conclusions because Maya Devi steals away their intelligence. So what's the point in becoming, that's a proper, what's the point in becoming very intelligent but against the Lord? Right? We told about this analogy, right? Indians are so smart, or rather so Krishna conscious. The Krishna consciousness is underneath their skin. The scratch. So any Indians, if you tell about Krishna, you know, they say they accept it, right? It's not like, oh, you have to prove, you know, okay, this theory, that theory, this creation happened, and then say this is God, so that's why you accept it. Krishna consciousness is just there. And Americans, somehow, you know, they are being favorable and inclined, everything, they are taking up Krishna consciousness. But the thing is, Indians are running opposite direction to Krishna. So Prabhupada said, Americans run behind, they are coming towards Krishna, right? They were coming towards Indians, they come, run behind them and call them to turn this side. That's all. So they are too intelligent, but they are going in the opposite direction, or rather too favorable. But what's the point in going in against Krishna? All the intelligence is waste, right? It's all useless. Yeah. So these are the four kinds of people who do not surrender to Krishna. So that's why we thought practical application is to think, you know, what all things we have, you know, why we are not able to fully surrender to Krishna. You know, are we tainted with any of these four things? You know? Are we grossly foolish that we just want to think about this life and next life and, you know, retirement, all those things, work hard for that and not worry about spirituality or any of these categories. Maybe, you know, to some extent we are influenced, right? So something is blocking us. So we can analyze. So today's section, we'll start from verse number 16. This very interesting verse. It's often repeated. These are, now Krishna talks about four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna. Right? So any questions or comments so far? It's okay? You are okay, right? Like, you know, overview.
Yeah. Okay. We'll just read that a little bit.
Okay, right. Okay. So nice.
What about these four kinds of people who don't believe in Krishna, Mataji? How can they go back to God? At a certain point, they need to go, right?
Yeah.
How can they go?
What do you think? How can they go?
After taking births, after births, after birth,
then
they'll get little purified and they, by the mercy of God or something. How
did we come?
Devotee.
Yeah, mercy of devotees. So that's how we should, you know, it's now, it's our duty actually, you know, somehow or the other we reach these people and let them at least begin their devotional journey. Like, you know, let them do some devotional service. Like take prasadam or maybe contribute something for some festival. You know, especially who are rich people, right? We can say, okay, sponsor some feast or something. Or, you know, Janmashtami, give some gift to Krishna. Somehow, you know, we can engage them. So they can begin little, it's called Ajnata Sukriti. So we are creating their pious credit, the spiritual pious credit. So the next life they can take it up from there and build it up, if this life they cannot fully take it. So it's our duty, our, what to say, our service. So then four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna, begin to surrender to Krishna. So let's see, Krishna glorifies all these people and we all fall into these categories. We read the verse, test number 16. Chaturvidha bhajante maam jana sukritino arjuna arto jignyasurarthati jnani cha bharatarshaba. O best among the Bharatas, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotion service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the absolute. So what are the four kinds? You can underline the Sanskrit also. One is Sukritino is the term is using for the pious people. Mm-hmm. So the first one is Artho. Artho. No, A is extended.
Mm-hmm.
Artho means distressed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can write in English if you want next to the Sanskrit there only. Artho, distressed. Next one is
Jidnyasur,
inquisitive. And
Arthaarthi,
material gain. Arthaarthi, yeah. One who is seeking material gain. And next,
Jnani,
is wise. So, what one who is searching for knowledge of the absolute. So, that the, these are the four kinds of people. So, can now somebody recollect, some of the personalities from our scriptures which represent all of these. Like, some people who came to Krishna or took up devotional service because of distress. Or somebody for wealth. Who is for distress?
Gajendra.
So Gajendra is the one who earlier lives he practiced, but in this life he forgot and he was into enjoyment with his wife and female elephants and children, everything in his own kingdom, all those things. Then Prabhu, you want to spread the mat? Prabhu can.
No, it's fine, Mother. It's fine.
It's okay. So then he's busy. But then suddenly when the distress came, the crocodile was biting his leg, then suddenly he remembered the prayers which he offered, and he offered the prayers, and with his trunk he offered a lotus flower to Vishnu. Then Vishnu came and rescued him. So he is the one who perfected, he took up devotional service in distress. Next one is, who is desirer of wealth?
Dhruva
Maharaj.
Dhruva.
Yeah. So Dhruva Maharaj, briefly, who wants to tell the story? Anybody wants to summarize the story briefly?
He wanted to sit on his dad's lap, and his second wife will not let him sit. So he said, you have to be born in my womb. So she said, you have to be born in my womb to have the privilege of sitting in your father's lap. So he was crying and went to his mother. And his mother said, go to Vishnu.
He's the one who gave everything to anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So ask him. So then he goes and Narada comes in the way, and then he gives him the advice to go to the tapas.
Yeah. So then he practiced. Narada became spiritual master, and he practices the process with strong determination. And when Vishnu came personally and he gave him kingdom also, by the time he became very pure devotee, says, I feel like I've asked for broken pieces of glass, but rather, you are diamond. So then, but he feels embarrassed, but it's too late, Vishnu says, he could have directly taken him back home, back to God, but he said he needed service to somebody, very capable to rule the world. So then he said, you do this service for some time, but I'll assure you that your Krishna consciousness will not be, you'll always remain a pure devotee. Then they said, okay, fine, and he does his service, and at the end of his rule, he will go back, Vishnu, Vishnuduta come, and in his own self-same body they come actually, and then he sees them, and death comes while he steps on the plane in front of him. Then he steps on the death and he goes. So the point is that for a pure devotee, death becomes subservient, or rather death becomes a step towards God of Godhead, Allah, Prema. Death becomes a step towards achieving love of God, because after death we can get the spiritual body. So that's the thing. So he came with the desire for wealth, but he became purified due to association of pure devotees. And then after that he didn't want it. That's why he didn't have propensity to enjoy even if he got it. Then who about inquisitive? I think this is hard. I think we may not be able to get. I also didn't have it. Later when I saw Burijan Prabhu's book, I found it. Shaunaka Rishi. Shaunaka Rishi is, the Shaunaka Rishi, right? He is the leader among the sages who were doing the yagya in Naimisharanya. The Bhagavatam came about, right?
Right.
Yeah. He was the leader of the sages, and he asked Sutta Goswami questions about Srimad Bhagavatam. Tell us about Bhagavatam. Then he talks about Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj discussion. So he is the one, he was inquisitive. That's what I heard. Then one who is searching for knowledge of the absolute. Who are some examples who were searching?
Searching?
Like, who were, let's say, for example, who were Brahman realized.
Yeah.
Sukadev Goswami. Sukadev.
Sahadev.
Nakula Sahadev? Oh, I don't know about him. Or yeah. Maybe he's there.
Yeah. I heard a story, but I don't know okay. what that is. So.
Okay. Yeah, then who else? I think Sukadev Goswami, right? He's in the womb only, he's self-realized, right? 16 years old, he was 16 years in the womb of mother and he was self-realized. When he came out, he just walked out of the home. He didn't want to do anything with the house, in the family, everything. But then father...
But here you're talking about searching for knowledge, right? He was given knowledge.
He was self-realized till Brahman realized, but after that he started you know taking up devotional service. Oh. Right? He heard then when he went to the forest, then his father sent somebody to tell him about Bhagavatam slokas. Then when he heard the slokas of Bhagavatam, he got attracted. He felt the happiness of hearing Bhagavatam is much more than what Brahman realization. So then he came and heard the whole Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva, his father. And then he became pure devotee. Then he was just wandering everywhere and he went to Bank of Ganges. Then he saw Parikshit Maharaj was inquiring about, you know, his death and he wanted to hear about Krishna. Then the sages elected Sukadev Goswami as the person to speak and then they spoke Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So Sukadev Goswami is one person and also Kumaras. Brahma Kumaras, four Kumaras, they are also Brahman realized and then after they became devotees. So these are some of the examples, you know, to illustrate this thing. So main points are like, you know, these are all material, if you see right, very clearly, these are all material desires, like distress, they want to get rid of their distress. Desire of wealth, of course, they want material gain. Inquisitive to some extent, you know, I want knowledge. I don't know what it is, but okay, I want to gain knowledge. But the fourth one is the one Jnani. Krishna also later declares that he is the one pure actually. He doesn't want anything for himself, but he wants to know who is God. So he just wants, like you know, like our recent example is Radhanath Maharaj. Anybody have read Journey Home book, right? You would have seen. Somehow at the age of 19 or something, he started inquiring about, I want to know about God. So he started his journey from his home like that. Just trying to find out where is God and experiment, figuring, meeting different sages, sadhus, finding out where is, finally came to India and then he met Srila Prabhupada and he found out who is God, who is the one who can show him God. Like that. So, okay. So Krishna also declares that this Jnani, the wise person who was looking for wisdom, is the one who is very pure and is very dear to Krishna also. Because he doesn't want anything for himself. So, we'll read some part points in the purport. First paragraph, we can read. Unlike the miscreants,
these are adherents of the regulative principles of the scriptures and they are called Sukritina, or those who obey the rules and regulations of scriptures, the moral and social laws, and are more or less devoted to the Supreme Lord. Out of these, there are four classes of men, those who are sometimes distressed, those who are in need of money, those who are sometimes inquisitive, and those who are sometimes searching after knowledge of the Absolute Truth. These persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service under different conditions. These are not pure devotees, because they have some aspiration to fulfill in exchange for devotional service. Pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit.
We can pause. Okay. So, generally, you know, these people are Sukritina. You know, they have, the characteristics are, they're pious. So, they follow rules and regulations of scriptures, the moral, social content. So to some extent, devoted to some higher authority. That's the main point. That's why, you know, they have some pious, you know, they're fertile. So, when some situation like distress or something comes, they turn to God rather than going against the God. So, same situations, different people react differently. So, what is the difference? Difference is their piety. The same distress, let's say, you know, a person who is very much envious of the Lord, they will take that as an opportunity to become more atheistic. They say, you know, why God created this? There is no God. You know, He doesn't have any love for us. They become like that. Rather, you know, people who are pious, they think, you know, oh, see, I'm suffering miserably. God, you can only help me. At least in this point, you know, we'll call out for God, right? So, you know, that's the difference. Pious, that's why Krishna calls them pious. Then Prabhupada talks about, you know, what is pure devotion. These are not pure devotees still, right? They are just beginning. Krishna also says they are just beginning to render devotional service. So then pure devotional service is without aspiration and without desire for material profit. So this is what we need to strive for, actually, you know. We all begin. So you can all reflect in our lives, right? We begin, we have started our journey in one of these. Mostly we are distressed. We all come because of distress. Because of the pangs of material miseries, we cannot find any happiness, any satisfaction. Right? That's when we begin to take up devotional service. So how then we can come... So because it's very clear they are not pure devotees. That means we practice devotional service because our distress goes away. Right? So when the distress goes away, we are okay to be complacent. We are okay to keep our chants as much, you know, 4 or 3 or whatever it is. We are okay like that. We are okay to, you know, slacken in certain regulations. But it's not like really we want to serve Krishna and let me do whatever possible, you know, let me stretch myself to serve Krishna more and more. You know, with the pure desire to serve Krishna or increase my service to Krishna. So the difference, you can see that, right? Here it's like, okay, my happiness, okay, I'm happy, okay, I'll be here, it's okay, no mind. But there it's Krishna's happiness. Okay, how can I serve Krishna more? You know, Krishna is missing all these souls. Now, how can I help Krishna in bringing these souls back home, back to Godhead? You know, how can, what is my service to Krishna? No, so that's the difference. So we should, you know, reflect on ourselves, you know, what is our path we should take from wherever we are to come to that pure path. To take up to that, come to this pure devotional service. Wherever we are, it's said, you know. Initially, when I heard this concept, I was little surprised, like about setting goals. Like, you know, usually in material world, we have goals, right? Especially we have to accountable to work and, you know, we have yearly commitments and we have to report and sometimes 5-year goals you have to put. We are surprised, you know, what do I know, what I have to write for 5 years. I heard this concept when I was working all this. But suddenly when I met some devotees after 1 year or 2 years in Krishna consciousness, they are like, you know, mentoring system in Radhanath Maharaj group. There, you know, they were telling. So as mentors, you know, we set goals. We ask people to set goals. In 1 year, what do you want to accomplish in devotional service? In 5 years, what do you want to accomplish? So that actually, inherently, it shows that this process is very scientific. So you can set goals and you can accomplish it. It's not like some vague thing, you know, I don't know what is going to happen after 5 years. If you are very determined, if you set goals and you work towards it, you can accomplish it. Like, what are the goals we can have? Like, you know, okay, in 5 years, I want to give up certain habit. Or, you know, 5 years, I want to, you know, cultivate humility. Or so many things, right? So many things we can do, actually, you know. So we should have these goals so that, you know, we can move forward. Otherwise, we'll always be where we are and there is no push, nothing. Right? So we should have these goals about, you know, what we'll do 6 months down the lane or, you know, 1 year down the lane. What do you want to see yourselves to be? Like, you know, when you want to be initiated, if that's the goal you want to have, like, you know, how, what is the roadmap I should take? You know, when you start thinking, you'll see what are things I need to work on. At least take one thing and slowly make progress. Then we are really serious, sincere. Otherwise, just for the sake of it, we can keep chanting and all. But Prabhupada says you can keep chanting for years to years, sometimes lifetime. Still, you need not go back to Godhead if we are not so serious and sincere. So, if you are really serious, then we should really work on, you know, what is the... Because it's the topmost goal. It's not... We are fortunate that this is given to us very easily. But we should do our part. We should do our part of showing our sincerity. And, so let's read the third paragraph. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord.
When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them, devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees.
Okay, so the key is somehow we should get association of pure devotees. So we have association of Srila Prabhupada through his books. We have association of Harilas Prabhu and, you know, people who are practicing pure devotional service. No, so when we have their association, so somehow, you know, we can, it rubs it on us. So we can slowly get pushed and, you know, slowly aspire for these. Then we can make progress and come to the platform of becoming a pure devotee. So last few lines. On the whole, when the distressed...
On the whole, when the distressed, the inquisitive, the seekers of knowledge, and those who are in need of money are free from all material desires. And when they fully understand that material remuneration has nothing to do with the spiritual improvement, they become pure devotees. As long as such a purified stage is not attained, devotees in transcendental service to the Lord are tainted with the fruitive activities, and they search after mundane knowledge, etc. So one has to transcend all this before one can come to the stage of pure devotional service.
Yeah. So that's the same point Prabhupada is saying. All these people, so their devotional service is tainted. So it's called actually, you know, Sanskrit term is mixed devotional service, English term. Or Sanskrit word is called Jnana Mishra Bhakti, or, you know, Karma Mishra Bhakti. Mishram is mixed. So we are all doing that. Either Karma Mishra Bhakti means tainted with fruitive results. You know, okay, I do this because, you know, I'll be stable in my job. Or, you know, or something, you know, there is peace in my house. Because of that, we are doing, getting something from Krishna. That's why we are doing devotional service. So it's all mixed. It's not pure. It's not only for Krishna's pleasure. And some people do it for knowledge. I do it because I will get knowledge and things like that. So that's Mishra Bhakti, it's called. Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Karma Mishra Bhakti. But we should come to unalloyed, you know, devotion. Pure Bhakti. So do you want, anybody wants to share some reflections on this topic? Generally, what is stopping us or what is blocking us?
It's not realizing, even though how much ever we read, or at least for me, even though I keep reading, it doesn't stick. Right? So, some point it will stick. It's the hope, association with all the devotees, it will stick. But unless, otherwise it's like, okay, that's fine. I still keep doing what I'm doing only. So, I don't know when that will go away. So.
Actually, related to that, I was hearing one, like, it applies to that point. Radhanath Maharaj was telling in the lecture that, you know, Ayurveda generally, the key is about digestion. Everything is about digestion. If the digestion is not there, the whole system is gone like that, right? So if digestion is there, how much ever food they eat, they can digest and the nutrition will go to the whole body. Digestion is not there, even if they eat so much, it just passes out. But, you know, they don't get nutrition to the body. So he was saying, Maharaj, that this digestion comes because of desire for hunger. Because of hunger, digestion is there. If the hunger, how much ever you are hungry, that much you have capacity to digest. So he was telling this desire, is hunger is like the eagerness. Eagerness to achieve Krishna, eagerness to associate with devotees, eagerness to hear about Krishna, eagerness to chant. That is the hunger by which whenever we receive that knowledge or receive that association, it sinks it into and becomes a realization. So we hear knowledge. Unless we have the urgency, we have the eagerness, okay? Without this, my life is waste. Without this, I'm useless. Without this, I don't know where I'm going. You know, I don't have any goal in my life. This is my life. If you come and hear Krishna Katha with that urgency, that eagerness, how much will it transform the heart? Right? It just goes directly to the heart and immediately you feel like, you know, it should transform the heart as long as the speaker is pure. No, of course, it's the speaker's problem also sometimes. No, but it's our part. You know, where are we that eager? Are we that hungry for Krishna? At least that's what I felt, you know. It's a practical thing. Because you're saying about knowledge is going, but there is no, it's not sinking. It's no realization. So the conversion from knowledge to realization, the key factor Maharaj was telling is the eagerness. The eagerness to achieve the topmost goal. Actually, Rupa Goswami also says, there is only one price to pay to achieve love of God. What is that price? There is nothing, no money, nothing material you can give to get love of God. Only one price. Yeah. The price is
greed
for it. Lolyam. Lolyam. You should have the intense greed. Just I want Krishna, that's all, nothing else. Once we have that, it makes very easy, right? We can consciously make decisions ourselves to keep everything aside and choose only Krishna. Yeah, that's Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. We heard, right? Just single pointed focus. So another related lecture I was hearing from Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was telling. Maharaj is very exemplary, especially, you know, main thing I like about him is his Guru Nishtha, you know, the devotion he has to his spiritual master. It's like single pointed and it's just, you know, whatever Prabhupada says, just accomplishes. It doesn't have any hesitation that it could be, you know, anything impossible to achieve also. So that much faith he has. So in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, you know, the song we sing every day, it's Sri Guru Charana Padma, that very, very nice song about spiritual master. In that, he was giving a discourse and he was telling that bhajan says that I have only one desire, that is to serve the instructions of my spiritual master. So it seems very simple, right? Okay, I have only one desire to serve the... But Maharaj was telling, if we think ourselves, you know, day, from morning to night, what all desires we list, you know, how many desires we'll come up with. So, you know, that is what is needed to come to that stage of having only one desire to make the instructions of my spiritual master life and soul. At that point, we are becoming slowly eligible to attain Prema Bhakti. Otherwise, we are just spending time here and there, you know, time, energy, focus, everything in fulfilling our small, small desires, which may not be so-called aligned with our ultimate desire. So it was so powerful, actually, that point, you know, reflect whole day and see, you know, how many desires we have. Can we make our instructions of spiritual master our life and soul? That means the whole energy is towards that, nothing else. Imagine the focus it can have, right? Then how much that advancement it may lead to if you have that focus. So any more points? Anybody else they want to share something? You know, what could block us? What is blocking us?
Laziness for me.
Laziness?
Morning always I want to wake up. But I won't wake up.
Wake up. Laziness. Yeah, say again, same sense of urgency. No, we feel it's okay today, go, tomorrow, of course it's okay. Because we feel health is good, money is there, kids are, everything, family is good. Right, where is the urgency, right? There is no pain, right? Unless we are put in painful situation, like, you know, okay, my leg is getting cut, or, you know, I don't even... Once Giriraj Maharaj was telling, his Prabhupada disciple, once he ended up in some accident, something, somehow his right hand got hurt. He, in such a way that he cannot hold his beat back. Then he felt actually what a mercy it is to have a right hand. How many times we feel, okay, thank Krishna, I have right hand, I can chant your japa. Right? You know, unless we have that, this thing, we are like that, you know. Of course, I am speaking to myself, you know, I am not. You know, when I speak like this, you know, somewhere I can also, it can also sink into my heart. Like, somehow or the other, it just we go into this mode of, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine, that's fine. Krishna, you be there, I'll be there, I'll do this much, it's fine, we can have this nice, you know.
Some,
you know, this fine for this life at least. Maybe next life we'll think about it more. So, you know, somehow we should pull ourselves out. Especially it works if you have association devotees and when we hear about, you know, Acharya's prayers, you know, what they are praying. Then we can see, you know, I'm not praying like this. Why? I'm so caught up in my life and I'm so... Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, some devotee says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have so much love for Krishna. You know, you are... Because he's exhibiting symptoms of love for Krishna, right? So somebody glorified. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately tears came from his eyes and he says, I don't have even drop of love for Krishna, because if I had love for Krishna, why will I live in this body? I would have gone, right? I would have given up this body. Because what's the use of this body apart, separate from Krishna? Now this material body, Prabhupada says, is a symptom of our, rebellion against God, right? See the point? This material body is a symptom of our rebellion against God. So if you are happy in this body, that means there is some problem, you know, like, right? That means we really don't have any love, right? And we are happy like this. So, you know, he was exemplifying that, you know, I don't have any love for God, that I'm so happy in this life and in this body. I'm feeling okay in this body. That means I don't have any love for Krishna. I don't want to go back to him. So, anything anybody else want to share?
I think it's also about the willpower,
yeah,
and prioritization.
Yeah.
The things that we can see, we feel like, okay, let me finish this work, because we can see that, you know.
Yeah, tangible result.
Tangible things. Intangible things, okay, you know, I will do it, let me finish this, and then you get caught up in other things, and towards the end, you don't have time.
Yeah. Because it's not immediately perceivable, right?
Yeah.
The result, you don't see it. But at least, you know, we can keep hearing from Shastras, then we know ultimately, you know, you keep doing like this, but at the end of the life, you have to give up everything anyway. So, you know, what's the point? So, we should come and invest in the things which are eternally beneficial. We should again and again refocus. Again and again, we have to refocus. It's, that's why, you know, hearing is very important. It's not like, you know, one day I heard, then, okay, I am good for 7 days. Every minute, every one Prabhu came, actually, Gaura Hari Prabhu, he was Radhananda Maharaj's disciple. He came to visit Seattle. He has a PhD. He came to visit Seattle for a project work or something. And of course, you know, we asked him to give discourses. And I think we invited him to our home long time back, maybe 4 or 5 years back. Our home, I think he had prasadam. Then I was noticing, actually, I was very surprised. All the time he's hearing. He's talking to us, but I think he's talking, but he's keeping his earplug and he's continuously hearing. He says, without this, I cannot sustain, actually, he says. Without this hearing, I cannot sustain. I cannot proceed one step also without this hearing. I was like, I felt actually he was a little mad or crazy, because there's no social dealings he's not having, and I felt a little bit, but you know, but that is his, that's the eagerness he has actually. Because later on I heard that he actually went through three crises of almost close to death in his life. 3 times and he got over it. So imagine how much realization he has about life. So that's what comes out in his practices. But you know, he's 3 times he came close to death, and his wife and married, and of course he doesn't have children. He didn't have children. But you know, that shows that in the practices how much eager we are, urgent, that urgency we feel, that's what shows in our practices. So we should not wait until... If you are sincere, our teacher says always, if you are sincere, either you put your effort, otherwise Krishna at the end will drag you. Drag you means you have to experience so much pain. Because all the things have to go at one shot. All the dirty things, all the attachments, all the offenses, everything you have to face towards the end, last few years of life. Instead of that, if you sincerely practice, it's a gradual purification. We can sustain. Otherwise, if Krishna drags, it's painful, he was saying. But it's good if Krishna drags us, if we are so fortunate. At least we should be fortunate that Krishna selects us. So, no, we should be serious.
Yeah, I was sitting in, earlier this week, I was in a couple of meetings, and I said, okay, before the meeting, I was telling myself, maybe I should, do it as an offering to Krishna and get into the meeting, right? And it was interesting. At least I could do it a little more peacefully, those meetings.
Okay.
But, you know, it's also, but if you're continuously thinking, some of these things are mundane, right? It's work, it just goes on. Next day, the same work will come again anyway, right? So, but still, I think it helps to try and apply it.
Yeah.
The only thing's boiling down to the taste only.
Exactly.
And if I have a taste of movie, I will not even miss like 9 p.m. show. I will reach by 8:55 for sure, because I have a taste. I don't want to miss.
But if you are slack, if you are not putting determination because we don't have taste, that still is fruitive. Because, you know, I want to relish it, right? So you're saying I don't want to serve Krishna until you give me some taste, right?
No, I'm not saying
I know you're not saying, but I am saying it. What I'm saying is, because we have heard so many times, taste will come, let's put in the effort first, right? But still, if we keep saying I'm not having taste, that's why I'm not doing means, we are having a bargain deal with Krishna. Like, you know, I don't have taste, so whatever taste I have, I'm going to do it. But I'm not going to put even little bit extra until you give me taste. Of course, I'm telling it very bluntly. Really, I'm telling you. Maybe it's hurting you, I don't know. But I feel like I should say this. No, so Krishna, it said that we take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes 10 steps towards us, right? So, you know, so that one more step can't we take, one extra step, like, you know, today, daytime, okay, I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'm doing everything. Can't we read one more verse? Can't we spend 5 more minutes extra in the day now? That 5 minutes makes so much difference for Krishna. He sees that, okay, this person is, okay, taking 5 more minutes for me. Wow. For us, it feels like 5 minutes is nothing. But Krishna appreciates it so much.
And also, when the kids are younger, it's a little difficult, I think, because now I have a lot of time, so I'm able to do much more. So, when the kids are younger, their classes, their things, and also it makes it a little harder, probably. So, and also...
So, you're compassionate towards Prabhu?
I'm just saying generally, because I'm seeing when I was... because the kids were home and all, I would always do things, like, you know, always take some time to do it, and the kids and also. But, like people were saying with smaller kids, there is always, like, something to do, something. But now, by His grace, I mean, the kids are out and I'm home, I don't work that much outside or anything, so... I can plan my day accordingly, so this gets the priority, so you can just do a little more without...
That's true. No, but, that's an excuse, but that's not the one to... No, there are examples of devotees who have kids, small kids, but still they are doing it nicely, right? We can see the examples, right? So, you know... We can have, in any stage, we can have some excuse or the other, right? We have that, we heard the story of... Who is that? Prabhu, Kailash.
Kailash,
right? Radha Krishna Prabhu told the story of Kailash. So at any stage, he keeps giving excuses. Now I have children, now I have grandchildren, the grandchildren have to marry, now nobody is taking care. So every time you find some excuse or the other, it's not. So at the time, and at least, you know, whenever we received it, you know, at least, you know, we should make that earnest effort, wherever we are. You know, based on Krishna will show His mercy, you know, He will, if some things are really blocking us, you know, He will remove it. If something is really beneficial, He is going to give them. No, it's all about our effort and our sincerity and our determination. Okay, so we'll continue with the next verse. Text number 17. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate priyo hi jnani no tyartam aham sacha mama priya. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge and who is always engaged in pure devotional service, he is the best. But I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. So Krishna is declaring among all the four kinds of people, the jnani, the person, you know, who is in full knowledge, but at the same time engaged in pure devotional service, is the best. And he is saying he is very dear to him. So he is not only saying he is best, he is saying, you know, he is very dear to him. So we want to become very dear to Krishna. By becoming, you know, practicing pure devotion service. So we'll read the purport. One second. We can read last four lines. But in the preparatory stage,
the man who is in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord and is at the same time executing devotional service is very dear to the Lord. He who is situated in pure knowledge of the transcendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him.
Mm-hmm. Saying he is situated in the pure knowledge of transcendence of Supreme Personality, is so protected in devotional service that material contamination cannot touch him. So once we are starting to execute pure devotional service, situated in that platform, nothing can disturb him. Actually, Prabhupada says nothing material can stop our devotional journey, actually. Prabhupada very clearly says, spiritual growth cannot be hampered by anything material. So, you know, all this, that's why, you know, this becomes excuses at that point. Right? Because these are all... Let's say, no, I don't have job, that's why I cannot chant. I don't have kids, that's why I cannot chant. How is this related? They are not related at all. We don't know how to connect everything to Krishna.
No, I'm just trying to say what it is, right? So we read all this, you say all this, Mataji, but still it doesn't go and sit. Once it sits, the reaction is completely different, right?
Don't need to sit, you do it. That's what I'm saying.
No, no, no. What? Okay, maybe I'm not explaining, it correctly.
It will sit one day.
Yeah.
No, that's why, Maharaj, Prabhupada says that if it is not able to follow you, just act as a following you. So it will automatically, one day it will come.
Right.
At least you start acting.
Just fake it until you make it. That's the statement. At least start faking it until you make it. Just do it. Nike's slogan. That's the title of today's class. Just do it. Okay. Oh. Okay, so continuing the next verse, it's all okay, right? So Krishna is glorifying the fourth category of pure devotee.
Mati, one question. In here we are saying pure devotion service. So what all things comes under this bucket? Like how I can judge whether I'm on right path or wrong, whatever actions I'm doing. And so I can see, like, this is pure devotion service or not.
Okay. So that's what we missed reading the translation. We can read the translation in the earlier verse. This is a definition of pure devotion service. If you read the sloka in the middle, right? Anyabilati Vashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anikulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama. So this is the definition for pure devotion service given from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar of Devotion. So translated as Nectar of Devotion by Srila Prabhupada. So the translation, one should render transcendental loving service to Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotion service. So one is, the devotional service should be rendered favorably. Okay, that's one criteria. Other thing is, it should not have any desire for material profit or fruitive results. So let's say if you do something to Krishna because I gain something, maybe fame, subtly, materially, maybe grossly, we may not. Let's say, you know, some people maybe, you know, teach Bhagavatam, they can get money, live livelihood, Prabhupada says. That's the worst thing one can do, Prabhupada is saying. They have Bhagavat Sapta and people will give money and that becomes their life actually. So using devotional service as a means to earn their livelihood, right? That's how much worse it can get. But we don't do it, at least, you know, seemingly we don't do that gross level, you know, desiring something. But we do maybe at subtle level, like, you know, I do it because I get fame. Or I do good because I get prestige, reputation, subtle benefits. Or because, you know, okay, my job will be... Sometimes, you know, when job is in critical situation, increase chanting. Something like that, you know. Because my job will get better. So these are all... We want something back from Krishna. So that, what to say, this... bargaining tendency, you know, that mentality. With that, we approach... give and take tendency, then it's not pure devotional service. But you do it, anything you do it, just for Krishna, nothing for me.
The gist is, whatever you should do, do it selflessly.
Yes.
So,
please try to do it, and then while doing it, we'll find out actually how many things we wanted for ourselves. Then Krishna will show us, see, you were doing it for me, but you know, when somebody prays, you are so happy. You know, that means you wanted all this for so far. And all these things Krishna will show us. Then we'll see, okay, still I'm not pure, Then we'll, that's how it keeps us going actually. No, it's not that I'm happy, I'm chatting my rounds, everything is fine. Am I pure? Am I purely serving Krishna? That's where we have to improve. Yeah. What Mataji
said? One more question. So you said subtle part, Mataji, how to overcome that subtle part? Settle part comes very quickly, right? And it goes quickly as well. Like suddenly it will come, oh yes, I need some kind of this name as well or something XYZ. So how to practice, like it will not come. Well, it comes as it can come anytime. Means what thought process we should have, like to practice? Means it's very tough to put into words my question, but
no, but the beginning what is it, the,
let's say you're
the motive to start
service.
With at least, you know, we should be clear, the motive to start with should not be for name and fame. No, that is very clear. No, hopefully we will be able to distinguish that, right?
My question is little further. Let's
little further. After that, when we get some reputation, yes. So then we need to, I am also working on this. So then we need to work on how to pass on this. Actually, our teacher told me, I was asking one day, no, Prabhu, like, you know, now we are teaching everything. Suddenly devotees come and say, you know, oh, Mataji, you, Prabhuji, you know, you gave us life, you know, you showed us the path, you know, you are making our life. These are big, big statements. These are not ordinary things, right? So, then I was asking Prabhuji, you know, we hear all this, you know, what should we understand, you know, we are practicing, it's not like we are pure anything, but people are saying like this, how do we take it, you know, how do we understand this, like, or rather, what is the mood to receive this in such a way that we can remain humble? That's my question. And Prabhu was saying, you take it and you pass it to your spiritual master. It's not, you cannot stop it saying, no, I'm not the one. You should actually receive it. Because that's how because they are worshipping actually Krishna through you. They are receiving love for Krishna from you. So you receive that and pass it on through disciplic succession to Krishna. No? Guru Maharaj, actually whatever I'm receiving, it's your honor. Whatever I'm capable of doing is your mercy. So, you know, you accept it. Then you are transparent via media and you will not become very heavy one day and saying, oh, I'm Guru. Mm-hmm. You'll just remain light and floating always and become a via media. That's the message I got, and it needs lot of work to apply that. You know, it's not easy. For everything, actually, we need lot of mercy, you know, as we grow. That's why at least our basic things should be fixed, you know, sadhana, all those things. We should not keep struggling with that, at least, you know, of course, we are at different stages. I'm not, everybody has to see what it means for them, but at least, you know, if those things are fixed, you know, chanting 16 rounds and basic things, everything we are following, those things are fixed, then we can work on all these things, which may take years and lifetimes to fix, and all this subtle desire for fame, lust, greed, all those things, they take a lot of time. Yeah. So we'll go to the next verse.
But as you get older, a lot of those fall off too, in the sense that, you know, you're not working, you retire.
Mm.
Then there's no, you're not driven by ambition.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of a thing, right? So that also...
No, actually not everybody can. See, my dad is retired. After that, he started joining another university, because, you know, it takes the soul, actually, it takes the purity. You know, if somebody's whole life is meant for earning money, everything, they feel like without job, I don't have any value. So still they invest in this. That's so, sorry actually, but, so it's not like that. It's not like, oh, just wait until old age, then all this go away, so I have more time. It's not like, only, you know, you both are very pious, so you're able to do it, but not everybody can do it.
And Krishna also says that he is the bal of the Balavan, he is
different
things, he says. So whatever, I mean, even a little bit, whatever it is we do, everything is, I mean, nothing I do or anything,
yeah.
Right? Like so-called the ego,
mm.
I do. Everything is his.
Yeah.
So if we kind of...
No, it's not, yeah, that's true, it's a mental, that's a way we can convince ourselves. But it's so ingrained, actually, you know, the doership mentality and the mentality to take credit. At least, you know, maybe, you know, you are very pure to not have that, but I can see it.
Coming.
No, because the thing is, you can go deeper, actually. At surface level, you feel I'm not doing it. But Krishna can reveal a deeper layer of, you know, how you are coated still. And you can go deeper, and then still you feel I'm not pure, still you feel very intense about your sadhana. Feel, you know, still I want to chant more, I'm still not able to chant, still Krishna, you know, help me, I'm still so impure, still I want to become qualified to come and serve you.
Yeah, yeah, first, like you said, first the negative thing comes, but then slowly when we kind of like replace it with that thing, then the strength
yeah.
I think would come from inside.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll continue with the next verse. Krishna is talking about all these kinds of souls. उदार सर्वे एवं ते ज्ञानी त्वात्मैव मे मतम् आस्तिता सहि युक्तात्मा मामेवानुत्तमां गतिम्. All these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls, but he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider to be just like my own self. Being engaged in my transcendental service is sure to attain me, the highest and most perfect goal. So the last one again is glorifying the Jnani, and he's saying that Krishna is saying he is just like me because he's pure, he doesn't have any motive. And because he's engaged in transcendental service, he's sure to attain Krishna, and which is the topmost goal. So others are called Sakama, that means they have desires, and this person is called Nishkama, no desire, no material desires. So we'll read the first paragraph.
It is not the devotees who are less complete in knowledge are not dear to the Lord. The Lord says that all the magma... All are magnanimous because anyone who comes to the Lord for any purpose is called Mahatma.
Or great soul.
Or great soul.
We can pause there, Prabhu. Sorry. Yeah, so Krishna is saying everybody is great soul. Actually. Even though, you know, all of us, Krishna is considering Mahatmas. Right? We have come to some extent or the other to Krishna. So Krishna is saying all of you are Mahatma, but still within that this person is very dear and this person is best. Last few four lines of the first paragraph,
but the devotee in full knowledge is considered to be very dear to the Lord because his only purpose is to serve the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. Such a devotee cannot live a second without contacting or serving the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him.
Yeah, so here also some of the symptoms of pure devotees, you know, they cannot live even a second without serving the Lord. So are we like that, you know, our teacher all in the classes every time, you know, whenever he says something, are we doing that? And he says at the end, he made a term, he said, I'm trying to make you thinking machines. You know, I'm giving you all the tools to start thinking. No, are we doing it? Where am I? Where is my goal? What am I doing about my goal? Saying, you know, think about all these things. So are we, you know, every second, are we thinking about Krishna or serving Krishna? It's not like, you know, he told the key about serving Krishna all the time is somehow connect them to Krishna. You know, our duties about family, work, everything. We connect to Krishna, then whole 24 hours we can be serving Krishna. Supreme Lord is also very fond of his devotee and cannot be separated from him because its love is reciprocal, right? So we see in family, you know, our family, like, you know, how much love a parent, father has to the child equally reciprocates, right? That's why my husband always says, in the childhood now, if you neglect them and you say, you know, let them cry or something, if you do it, when they grow up, they will not care for you. He says very clearly, bluntly says to me, you know, be very careful, you know, always.
But will they remember? Like,
no, that's yes. The psychology changes. Psychology changes accordingly. Not remember with respect to mind and everything, but that's how the heart becomes. The more you give the love when they need it, the more you can get the love from them. That's better for them. Especially childhood is very, very important. So then this is a very nice verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sadhavo hridayam mahyam, sadhunam hridayam paham, madanyatena jananti, naham tebyo managapi. The devotees are always in my heart and I am always in the hearts of the devotees. The devotee does not know anything beyond me and I also cannot forget the devotee. There is a very intimate relationship between me and the pure devotees. Pure devotees in full knowledge are never out of spiritual touch and therefore they are very much dear to me. So we all want to become dear to Krishna. No, then so that Krishna can incessantly remember us and we can also incessantly remember Krishna, and that's all. No, our ticket to spiritual world is assured. If we just can somehow, you know, take up devotional service in earnestness. So I think it was just a few minutes. Yeah, then we can maybe do this verse also. Yeah, it's number 19.
बहुनाम जन्मनामन्ते ज्ञानवान् मां प्रपद्यते वासुदेवं सर्वमिति समात्मा सुदुर्लभः.
That's why Krishna is saying this is very rare. After many births and deaths, he is actually knowledge, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Now that's why it's very rare. Because, you know, so many people come and go, But who in the earnestness takes it up and who can surrender that Krishna is everything for me. I want only Krishna. No, such a soul is very rare and is very dear to Krishna. So we'll read the first paragraph.
The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus, he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very,
very rare.
This verse
is... we can pause there. Yeah. So basically, you know, initially when one doesn't have knowledge, that's Prabhupada saying, one leans towards impersonalism. So, you know, we are not going through that path. But gradually when we practice the activities of devotional service, one can begin to understand that everything is Krishna's mercy. You know, this whole material world is created by him. Whatever happens is due to him. You know, everything. Then slowly, whatever they see, they remember only Krishna. This is happening because of Krishna. The whole manifestation is because of him. Whatever things are happening in my life are also because of him. Then slowly, you know, everything they remember Krishna in every moment. Then that's what Prabhupada is saying. That remembrance of Vasudeva precipitates or leads one full surrender to Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So they see this cause of all causes, that Krishna is cause of all causes, or Vasudevam Sarvamiti. So everything is Krishna. Everything is due to Krishna. So then they remember the Supreme Lord all the time and they feel like, if everything is due to Krishna and everything is created by Krishna, why don't I surrender to Krishna? So then they surrender in great earnestness. That's what, you know, that such surrendered great souls, Krishna is saying, are very, very rare. Actually, even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, you know, out of all my preaching, there's so many, he has 10,000 disciples or something. He said, out of all of them, if one person becomes pure devotee, I will consider my mission successful. So it's such a rare thing to become a pure devotee. Because it's so much work. Somebody has to be so eager and sustain for so many years. Or maybe at least years, luckily for us only years. Because there's a promise that we can succeed in one life. But imagine if somebody has to do lifetimes. How much, that much we want to be going back, want to be wanting to go back to Godhead. I wish we had that desire. Yeah, we can pause there. Any questions or comments? Next section, 20 to 25, it's about why people surrender to demigods or become impersonalists. So basically Krishna here talked about surrender to him. The next section is going to talk about surrender to demigods or impersonalists and things like that. It's a good segue. So one thing, any comments or questions? Everybody is so eager to stop the class.
As soon as we are increasing the chapter, I can feel the distance is too far towards spirituality. Every day we think, oh, this is like so many miles got added.
Yeah. But that should motivate us, right? Not demotivate us.
Definitely. Yeah. It looks like now target is too far. We have to run faster.
Yeah, run faster. That's good. That's a good way to see it. Yeah. Yeah, that's what keeps us going. And somebody may say, actually, once Gauranga Prabhu was studying this class, the same activities we'll do, you know, chanting, hearing Krishna Katha, feasting, dancing. These are the same activities you'll do from day one till the time you die in ISKCON, Krishna consciousness. Same, okay, right? If you say anybody is doing the same thing, sannyasis, everybody is doing. So then how will you sustain the same activities? Of course, it's spiritual, so you're getting taste. But the only way he said is you have to go deeper and deeper. You have to go deeper in your hearing. You have to go deeper in your chanting. You have to go deeper in serving devotees. Only that's the only way you can sustain. Then you are working on it. It's not like, oh, okay, I'm standing 16 rounds. Means forever I keep standing 16 rounds at that same level. No, no, no. I have to improve my quality. I'm going nowhere. Right? So that's the effort we need to put. Otherwise, same activities will seem to be mundane at one point. Like, oh, I've been chanting for so many years, you know, same thing, it's nothing, I'm not getting any taste. You know, what's the point? No, right? So, no, but there are people who get taste. So, okay, so what is wrong with me that I'm not getting taste? We can think like that, right? There are some people are getting taste, some people maybe get some many years later, but some people may get even after a few months. So, is there anything which I need to change in my attitude towards devotional service to get taste? Or maybe I'm getting taste, but I want something else which I'm not perceiving the taste. So many things, right? Yeah. Okay. Stop here. Hare Krishna.